fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
Joined in studio by Bob McCowan, whose show will come up immediately following that. That is Roger Goodell from New York. Gentlemen, your immediate reactions to the news conference.
Well, from my perspective, it was about what you would expect. These things, I've seen hundreds of these over the years, not necessarily of this with this topic, but they want to stay on message. It's like a political announcement, a political debate, a political interview process. Here's the message. Stay on the message. Keep repeating the message as often as you have to. We heard the exact same kind of rhetoric from the Minnesota Vikings a couple of days ago when they decided to change their position on their own player. I'd be interested in knowing whether there were still a significant number of people who had questions they wanted to ask when they cut this thing off. Now, I know that there was probably a predetermined time frame for it.
Well, I think the temperature in the room also dictated when that was cut off.
I think there's some of that. I think there were a lot of people who were getting frustrated by a lack of straight answers. The National Football League gave us a vague description of what they plan to do, which seems, in essence, to be the bare minimum. Having said all that, I'm interested in what you guys think would have been satisfactory in terms of Goodell. Absent him stepping down, which we knew he was not going to do, What would have satisfied this mob gathering of media people or the three of us?
Nothing. Nothing.
Probably true.
I don't think there was anything that he could say to quell the uprising in that room. And I thought what we got from him was, we are going to be more transparent, but just not right now. In the future, we are going to make sure that this entity is a lot more transparent. I just can't get into it right now. Because he did a fantastic job for an hour of saying a lot while really saying nothing, which is the message that you think and I think, and I don't know if I'll speak for Sid, that they wanted to get out there. We really take this stuff seriously, and we're going to address it.
Sid?
First off, when a Howard Stern employee steals the news conference, I think that says a lot about what we just heard, is the first thing.
And that's the rumor, and the guy who said, "Don't put me in the elevator," screamed out, "Don't put me in the elevator." And it was a reference to Ray Rice and his wife.
A blood-curdling scream, as he said it in the room.
Right.
As I came off resetting for the radio audience, and I didn't know what the hell we were listening to. I think one thing could have prevented some of that, and it would have been in some way, in any way, and he didn't. He said he had a committee. He had a conduct committee ready to go once he gets it done by the Super Bowl. If he says zero tolerance, which he never said,
What's zero tolerance, though?
Yeah, that's how do you define zero tolerance?
How do you define it?
And he talked about the intricacies that we talked about before with due process. Like, can you allow for due process to take place when you're reading reports of a guy headbutting his wife and breaking her nose?
Well, it's one of the issues that I've always struggled with. I mean, we all want to be judge and jury and have instant gratification.
But that's what he wanted when he started in this position, Bob.
Who did? Goodell?
Roger Goodell.
Respect to who? The Rice case?
No, with respect to his league.
Adam Pac-Man Jones, Tank. He had the cover of Time where he was doing the enforcer pose. Remember that one?
That's his entire platform when he started this.
Well, look, I would support the notion that the National Football League establishes a relationship with its players' association and its individual athletes. Now, you're going to have to do this through negotiation with the PA, but I would obviously support, and I think most people would support, a zero-tolerance policy whereby if you are accused of an act that in and of itself embarrasses the National Football League, you are immediately placed on the suspended list, which is to say, which is where Adrian Peterson is. You get paid, but you don't get to play. And then subsequent discipline would occur based on both the National Football League's investigation and its standard, plus the criminal justice system. but one should not be reliant on the other. In other words, I don't want the NFL to be in a position to use the justice system and its failures as a crutch for them not doing anything. I think you should be permitted as an entertainment entity, which is what the NFL is, to set your own standard of acceptable conduct and behavior. And I've said this many times before. I have a contract, and I have a morals clause in that contract. I have had that for almost 40 years. A morals clause that says, if you do this, 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 or this, your contract can be immediately terminated. I suspect there is some of that in the National Football League. But they need to batten that down, tighten it up, and then use that clause to rid themselves of these kinds of situations. Having said that, there's a case to be made for the justice system to be allowed to act. We have, we all understand. While when somebody's accused of something and there appears to be some evidence regarding that, we're quick to judge that the guy is guilty. Right. In fact, sometimes we judge that he's guilty even if we don't know that evidence. And what we find out later on is not everybody who's charged with something is guilty of it.
Right.
Maybe a very high percentage, but not everybody. And you don't, you know, you want to be careful not to punish somebody for something they didn't do. Let the process take effect. That's why I believe that suspending players with pay, like Adrian Peterson was,
right,
is the right thing to do. There are serious ramifications to Adrian Peterson. He will lose tens, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars in endorsement deals. But he hasn't been kicked out. He's been accused of something. He's been charged with something. We think what he did was despicable and that he should pay for it. But let him have due process.
But the Vikings, after
the Vikings messed the whole thing up.
Well, I
Vikings
was about to
should
say,
never if, invited
if,
him.
If we're not talking about due process, we're talking about a Vikings general manager saying, we believe this is an act of disciplining your child. So we're talking about let's wait and for all the facts.
Well, no, but that's what they initially said.
So then after they activated him on the Monday. And in terms of due process with Ray Rice, that was done. That was over. He pled. And they still gave him two games.
Okay, so Jonathan Dwyer, the Arizona Cardinals running back who has been deactivated, he, unlike Adrian Peterson, will not lose millions of dollars of endorsements because he's Jonathan Dwyer, running back, Arizona Cardinals. He will be paid his full salary to be deactivated. And I don't mind Roger Goodell saying, give me some time, because they don't have the answers. These are intricate questions, and each case is a little bit different. But I have to believe, moving forward, that Roger Goodell did not help his job with that news conference that we just heard.
What?
I think Roger Goodell expedited his exit as commissioner of the NFL by holding a news conference where he said, we're going to be better, we're going to be more transparent, just right now.
But again, I will ask you the same question I asked, you know, at the very beginning of our conversation, and that is, what do you expect? What did he have, not what you expect, because I think we got what we expected. Right. What did he have to say, other than, I'm falling on my sword, I'm taking responsibility, I'm stepping down as commissioner?
Listen.
And let's be honest about it. The three of us, if that had actually happened, the three of us would be sitting here saying, well, big deal. Roger Goodell steps down. Now somebody else, the next in line, is going to come in here. And how do we know that the policies or issues are going to change?
All I go back to in terms of what did we have to hear, I go back to Adam Silver in basically that same hotel at the end of April when Sterling broke and it was toxic and the players are ready to walk on the postseason. They wanted to hear one thing.
That's Donald Sterling's out.
They heard it.
What did you want to hear?
It was definitive.
What did you want to hear today? What's the one thing that would satisfy you? Remembering that commissioner had the gun to his head. He had how many players? 350 players or whatever it is in the NBA.
People were going
to
watch.
Ready to not play games. Mm-hmm. He had the entire, I think, all of the sponsors of the LA Clippers ready to walk away. He had national sponsors, at least saber-rattling about doing the same. He was under the threat of his entire playoff structure disappearing. No such threat exists here. We have the only thing the National Football League Players Association has done is appealed on behalf of Ray Rice. That is their position to date. Have they made a public statement about how this thing was handled? No. And the funny thing is, Ray Rice might win his appeal.
He will win his appeal. And that's what I want to hear from Roger Goodell. What I want to hear from Roger Goodell is not, he admitted he was wrong. He said what they were going to do moving forward. And then as soon as the questions got tough near the end of that, he began to tap dance. He tap danced around a Ray Rice issue. Did you or did you not see the tape? We did not see the tape. Why are there discrepancies? I can't answer that. He began to tap dance. He began to tap dance around each and every tough question out there.
You're not getting an argument from me.
So if you're going to be paid $44 million to be the commissioner of the NFL, handle it right. Or handle the questions that arise after handling it right.
That's a very nice generic question and answer. I wanted more. I wanted something. But what do you want?
I'll tell you
what is going to satisfy you guys.
I'm telling you right now.
I get that you're not satisfied.
Answer the questions.
And I'm not either. But
answer the questions.
You've been around long enough. You know it doesn't happen.
I know.
You know they won't answer those questions.
But if you can't handle the initial process right and you can't handle the questions, you must step out. Like you're 0-2.
Quit?
Yeah, or as I said 5 minutes ago, you have just expedited your departure from that position. You might not have to step down, but the owners are all talking to themselves right now and saying, "What the hell did he just do?"
Oh, there's some text.
He didn't
around.
Help us.
Oh yeah, there's some conversation going on right now.
Did he help us? Do the owners say that Roger Goodell's news conference that everyone watched for a full hour on Friday help us heading into the weekend?
I know you guys are going to think this is crazy, but I'm thinking they probably did because.
Yeah. I'd like to hear the explanation of that.
Well, because these are billionaires who have, and there's a common thread among billionaires. They believe that the decisions that they make, whatever they are the right ones. They believe they can't do wrong. They believe that because they've been successful in other businesses, infallibly, they will do the same in this business. They believe that they have a power base that exceeds almost any other industry in North America, which is to say, when a car maker starts putting out crappy cars in a short period of time, people will stop buying those cars, and that company is in trouble. And we've seen that. If your airline safety record is poor, you're going to go out of business. All businesses are reliant upon putting out a product that is successful and is saleable. Mm-hmm. And the National Football League today, in spite of all that's gone on, still does two things. It puts out a product that is saleable and successful. And that's what these guys care about.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of this is like a flea on an elephant to them. They really don't care about what you think or I think or anybody else out there thinks. They really don't care. This is not a moral issue for them. It's a business issue for them. They believe that this story will go away, and history suggests they will be right. It will go away. Unless people like us, the general population, gets behind it. The first caller that I was going to take today, and I may yet take him, and I'm just looking down at my call list here, and we have the name and the location, and also a one line, as you know, of what generally they want to talk about. Tired of hearing of the NFL.
Yep. We heard that refrain several times.
From a fan base that cares about sport but doesn't care about societal issues.
Morality.
Right and wrong. Morality. I don't know who this individual is, and I may give he or she an opportunity to voice their view a little bit later on. But that's the message that they're giving you. And are you surprised by that message? You're not even a little surprised.
No, I'm not shocked at all.
Did the ratings go down last Sunday?
No.
Not that I read.
Me neither. Were people repelled? Were people disgusted? Were there marches outside stadia? Were there people refusing to go inside? Were there thousands of placards inside? Were people wearing armbands? You know, was there any kind of movement for the fans to show their displeasure? No. Because they don't care. They really don't care. The owners don't care. They care about making money. The fans don't care. They want to watch football. the commissioner's office only cares because he got caught. That's what he cares about. What he cares about is somebody caught him making a stupid decision. I mean, you got a wide receiver that was initially given a year's suspension for smoking marijuana. Now, I don't smoke marijuana. I don't have a big political stance on marijuana.
So we're inhaling it.
But it's marijuana. It's legal in a bunch of states in the United States. Eventually, it's going to be legal everywhere. This is what you give a guy a year's suspension for.
Now, 10 games.
And reduced to 10 games.
Yeah.
But a guy beats up his fiancée, knocks her cold in an elevator, and you give him 2. It's not whether 10 games is fair. Is 10 games fair for that crime while 2 games is fair for that one? And the answer for everybody is that's absurd. But the vast majority of people watching right now couldn't care less.
There's some owners who are actually very glad the way that played out. Steve Biscotti of Baltimore, if I'm him, I'm glad how that played out because I'm not taking any heat right now. Ziggy Wolf is very happy how that played out today because I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Roger Goodell dealing with Howard Stern employees and not answering questions from TMZ. But you can't tell me the other 30 owners in unison were happy with that. You can't tell me that's going to satisfy every sponsor. You can't tell me everyone's completely behind Roger Goodell after that dog and pony.
You're naive if you think that.
30 guys have his back after that.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Because that's what I'm asking.
I don't know how many of those owners actually, on first blush or subsequently, based upon pressures that have been brought to bear on them mm-hmm. by fans, employees,
the media,
family members.
Yeah,
I don't think the media influences very many of them. They slough us off like we're nothing.
I don't know. The media got a video.
What can happen?
Yeah, this all started with social media. This all started like the social response. Media. I've never seen a response like this before.
Wait a second. What we're talking?
Have you?
What I was asked about? What we're talking about is how owners feel about this.
Right.
Owners are not going to be influenced by the media, and how outraged we are. They never have been. They never will be. Fans, people who pay their salaries, things that generate money for them, things that keep their business where it is, those are the things that impact them.
Can I ask you one quick question in there?
Let me just finish. If sponsors, if one national major sponsor of NFL football stood up and said, we do not like where this league is. We do not believe in the integrity of this league any longer or the morality of this league. And we don't believe that our customers and clientele support this league anymore. Therefore, we're going to pull it. The day that happens is the day we have something to talk about. Because it's not happening. It's never happened. Budweiser can stand up and saber-rattle all they want.
Right.
But they didn't do anything.
I agree with you.
Yet. Exactly.
Yet.
Where do fans get their information and opinions from? I would suggest it would be Bob McCallum.
Okay, so what?
Oftentimes. So when when I look down and see how many people are condemning what Roger Goodell just did on the national news media, I think it might influence some of the fans' opinions.
Okay.
Like, how did this all start, Bob? How did it all? It was the response to a video put out on the internet.
But it's no longer about the video. Now it's about how the National Football League cover up this incident.
Does that not show the power of the media and the response to the media? Like, isn't that a good example of how it can influence these? Because I'm with you. I'll say this and I'll get off your show, okay? Yeah. How about this? This is a good way to get you. I completely understand. 34 of the top 35 television shows last fall were NFL football games. That's my preamble. I completely understand the powerful beast that the NFL is right now and what a moneymaker the NFL is right now. But I don't think in the 50s anyone could have even imagined that baseball would not be America's pastime, that it would be passed tenfold by the NFL. The NFL was just a scourged league off to the side that some thugs played. Things evolve. And the more they walk down this road, and maybe owners won't see this because they'll be dead and gone by the time this happens, but they're walking down this road step by step with all of these pieces of information that are now stacking up against a game that I love, grew up with, and has provided my livelihood.
You're trying to incite riot, and it doesn't work.
I'm not.
You are.
You don't think that all these things will eventually start beating down the wall that is the all-powerful NFL? Based on the evidence that history repeats itself, as you said, not 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, but not over morality. This is about entertainment to those people. It's not about morality.
I don't disagree with that notion. But empires can fall. That's what we know.
Not over this kind of stuff.
That's what history has told us.
The fans could have a role in this, but there's no evidence that they're going to rise up. There's no real evidence that the constituency out there cares enough about this.
So how did other sports?
It's our responsibility to follow it, but to present this information. But it's not their responsibility to listen or turn us off.
You don't think that any of the other sports have fallen just because, like, you think the entertainment value of
morality
sport has been constant?
Never happened. Case.
I'm saying there's all these little chisels, and whether it's concussions, whether it's people not wanting their kids to play, whether these are all tied together, the NFL is walking a slippery slope.
Another
piece of the chisel banging into the wall.
Are fewer people playing hockey in Canada? Yes. Yeah. Kids. Is it partly because we are a far more diverse country than we were 20 years ago? That's a big part of it. Or it's too expensive. Are there some parents that are saying it's too dangerous? I don't want my kid to play. Yeah. Is that the overwhelming response? I don't think so. Is the same thing happening in football? Are there more American parents saying, no, you can't play football today because of the potential of a concussion? Yes, I believe that's true. Are universities shutting down their football programs? Are high schools shutting down their football programs? Are Pop Warner leagues disappearing? No. So it's a trickle. It's not a flood. Okay. And maybe a trickle of people will say, morally, I cannot invest myself in NFL football any longer. I'm not going to go to games or I'm not going to watch. Maybe that trickle is out there. But I doubt it. And I don't think it's going to evolve into a stream. And certainly not an ocean. And until it gets to be an ocean, those 32 owners and their commissioner aren't going to pay any attention.
One question.
That's a lot of one questions, isn't it?
One question.
He's got a good question.
Why didn't you talk about...
I don't know that yet.
Why didn't you talk about the Mayweather fight?
Why didn't I?
Stephen Brunt, last week at this time, wanted to talk boxing with you. You didn't want any part of it. You were a boxing guy.
I'm still a boxing guy. I mean, as much as I see, I don't find anything compelling in boxing right now.
So you're telling me that boxing...
Was the Mayweather fight on national television?
Nope.
Was it on pay-per-view?
Yep.
Okay. At $50.
Why did...
What percentage of boxing
from national television to pay-per-view television? Because perhaps morality played into the idea
Are you serious?
UFC
took off. So there's a moral issue with boxing, but no morality with UFC.
UFC is doing fantastic right now.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not. It's on its way down in a big way.
How long did it last? Way.
What, a flash in the pan, 5 years.
And so people stopped watching because of morals? They suddenly got moral?
They stopped watching because they didn't know what the main event was.
They didn't want the Marcus of Queensbury rules because what? That was too pussified? So now we got to have bare-knuckle boxing where somebody could, get an eye taken out or
so what's your explanation
get killed
for
in the
boxing
ring?
Disappearing from the mainstream? It has nothing to do with morality?
I can't have the answer to every question you have, unfortunately.
Muhammad Ali was the biggest star on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And now the boxing hasn't had that for 30 years.
I enjoy the sport. I'm not compelled by what I'm seeing. I think this is not the be-all and the end-all, and we're off on another tangent.
Sorry.
When you do not have... Here's one thing we know about
Americans.
Sorry
about my solid point.
Here's one thing we know about Americans specifically. If it isn't made in America, done in America, and has America written all over it, it ain't important to them. Would you acknowledge that?
Correct.
Who's the heavyweight champion of the world?
Vladimir Klitschko, or one of the 8 Klitschko brothers.
Okay, who's the second best fighter in the world? The other one.
Who's the best fighter in the world? The heavyweight.
Who's the heavyweight
champion? Floyd Mayweather is the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. He's American.
Yeah, he's not a very likable character.
I think he's not a little misunderstood.
Does he have some domestic abuse in his past?
No, sorry. He's a demon.
Oh, he's got some domestic abuse in his past?
Yeah. He's a demon. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, it's about stars.
He's made $34 million.
It's about stars. Americans are not going to get behind Vladimir or his brother.
Jose.
Yeah. Antony Klitschko. Orest. Or Claude Klitschko.
There's a lot of them, and they fight. They're really big.
But they won't fight each other either.
No, they won't. That's the problem, right?
Arguably, there hasn't been a star, a real fan favorite in boxing since Oscar De La Hoya. Now, you may say Manny Pacquiao, but even Manny Pacquiao, I don't know. I mean, maybe. He was acknowledged as a great fighter in his time. De La Hoya, people love De La Hoya. But then you got to go back. I mean, who was the last really popular champion out there?
You could also argue.
I'm almost going to take you back into the 80s. Mike Tyson was a beast, but he was not popular.
But he was a star. People watched him.
Yeah, but by that point, all kinds of things happened with boxing.
Yeah, and I guess the move could have been greedy to start to pay-per-view and then became the downfall of the sport. You could argue that. I'll listen to that.
I used to watch Friday Night Fights.
Yeah,
I used to watch boxing all the time. Used to be able to turn on either TSN or Sportsnet and see fights all the time. Don't see them much anymore. They just don't televise them. Doesn't have a big audience. Doesn't have big appeal. I can't explain boxing.
I
think there are reasons, but I can't put one finger on one thing and say that's why boxing isn't working.
Shred of morality.
We have to go.
Shred of morality.
Why did you allow him? You said this was a good question.
Shred of morality.
You allowed him to take the entire topic and change it.
It's a good question. I liked it.
It was a good question for Monday.
I just heard Roger Goodell talk about nothing for an hour. I'd like some good conversation. Sorry.
Well, so now you heard him talk about nothing for the last 20 minutes, and you didn't say anything.
Can I say one more thing?
I said yes to him, and look where we
No, no, at. This one. No, this is just about ISIS.
See, you're not,
you just admitted I was right.
27 minutes past the hour. That's Tim and Sid. We'll take your phone calls when we come back on primetime. This is the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Five minutes in, and finally the show begins. We got hijacked by Tim and Sid, but we thank them for sticking around. Later, Elliot Friedman, Dave Perkins, and Glenn Grunwald will join us for the roundtable. And I'm sure this very topic of today's news conference by the NFL commissioner will come up. Let's go to your phone calls. We'll get to as many as we can in the limited time we have. I alluded to a caller earlier that it says here is tired of hearing of the NFL. Here's Al in Kitchener. Are you tired?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Okay.
Yeah, forget the NFL. Let's just do the CFL. But, Bob, my first thing that I want to talk to you about, what is the name of your wine?
I'm not going to promote it on the show in that fashion. But thank you for asking. If you want to send a text or an email, I'll be happy to tell you.
Okay, so I have an idea. Since you guys own the NHL, I would like to see the first game and the last game of the season be just the original six, right?
Those are decisions that are not made by Sportsnet, Rogers, or any of the other broadcasters. It's made by the league office. They determine all of the scheduling. I thank you for that. Daniel Thornhill, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not sure if Tim and Sid are still there. But
No, they're gone.
Oh, okay, so it comes back to one of the things you guys were talking about, which is when to act and the due process nature of these things in the NFL. So my question is, correct me if I'm wrong, but you had stated you'd be in favor of a no tolerance, like a zero tolerance policy that if someone were accused of an act like this, that they go on the suspension list by the commissioner.
In principle, let me expand that by saying, and I try to say this, obviously you would want to have some evidence.
Right.
An accusation by a spouse, a girlfriend, a guy down the street without any support, I think you may not ignore, but you would want more information. If the criminal justice system decides to charge somebody, presumably, even if you, the NFL, don't have the evidence necessary, the criminal justice system does. At that point, I would have zero tolerance. You'd be suspended with pay pending further research, examination, and what happens through the legal process.
Okay. I mean, I think it just opens up a slippery slope where you run into issues of possible extortion or things of that nature.
You're 100% right, and you have to guard against that. That's exactly what you're absolutely right, and that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, big fan. Have a lot of questions, but not enough time.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. Bruce, Toronto, hello.
Yeah. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Yeah, I thought the most interesting question was about diversity and somebody asking whether there were any women of color on this committee. I wish somebody had just said, are there any Redskins? Because, you know, this is sort of a bottom-up approach they're taking. They're putting the onus on the players to follow a personal code of conduct. But, you know, the league itself isn't showing any moral leadership. They could change that. They could.
But the league, you're right. But the league itself, I believe, has to establish itself that it has a higher moral standard than the rest of society. You, as a player, are privileged to play in this league, to get the benefits and the income that you derive, but you are, by nature of the occupation you have chosen, have become a public figure, a celebrity, if you will, but you are a public figure. When you accept all that comes with, all the benefits that come with it, one of the things you also have to accept is you're going to be scrutinized. And therefore, we have the right to hold you to a higher standard. We expect you to be, at your core, a good person. Whatever that might be.
Well, I accept that. But the problem is, the NFL isn't living up to its own standards. It could very unambiguously say, calling a team the Redskins in today's day and age is wrong, but they're not showing any leadership.
With due respect, sir, I would say that those are two entirely separate situations. I accept your premise that the National Football League has dropped the ball, so to speak, in many ways, not just with the Rice situation, but with all their discipline policies. I would submit to you that the National Hockey League has been completely and colossally inept with its discipline policies since the beginning of time, to the point where it's not even worth talking about. It's not worth having an argument every time they come out with a slap on the wrist for something that most intelligent people think should derive more. So this isn't a problem that's unique to the NFL, but it does exist. Whatever your belief on the nickname of the Washington franchise, is valid as far as I'm concerned, but not relatable to this issue. Jason Woodbridge, hello.
Bob, a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you for taking the call. Listen, I mean, when you're thirsty enough, you'll drink water that's a little dirty. The appetite for the National Football League is at an all-time high, and nothing that Roger Goodell does or says or doesn't do is going to change the appetite for the product on the field. And I know you don't like to talk soccer, but just a quick little antidote, okay? It's been proven that pre-World Cup matches or matches to qualify for the World Cup have been fixed. Yet the appetite for watching the World Cup has not diminished one bit.
I agree.
In fact, it's grown tenfold.
You're right.
And that's because as individuals, if you take it and knock it down to every single individual who watches sports, we're watching it for a reason. Until that reason affects our own personal lives, we won't stop watching. The NFL, people watch it because of the gambling aspect, more so than not. We both know that's true, okay? And until the outcomes of the games can be proven to be fixed, if 60 Minutes comes out with a big expose, they talk to ex-players and say, we were throwing football games, the product on the field will not, and the viewership of the NFL will never change. It's only going to grow and grow and grow. I hate to break the news to all these bleeding hearts who want to talk social issues. But at the end of the day, it's a business, and you're buying that product they're selling.
That's more or less the message I tried to give in the first half hour. It's sad, but it's true. There is nothing in that statement with which I disagree. Ian Whitby, hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I was just wondering, in all this situation, I haven't heard anybody mention maybe the root cause of this. I remember the old steroid era, the Barry Bonds and other athletes that...
I mean, roid rage?
Yes.
Look, I can't speak to it as I'm not a scientist. I don't know that there is enough evidence to support it, although there certainly is a belief that steroids caused dramatic mood swings in some people. Are steroids still the drug of choice in the National Football League? I suspect not. I think they've moved on to a variety of other things. I'm not saying the steroids don't still exist in the NFL. They test for them. I don't remember the last person that was caught testing positive for roids. You know, there's new blood testing coming out for testosterone. Is drug use at the core of this? Here's part of the argument that people will make to say, even if it has some role, it's not relevant. Against the general population of the United States, the incidence of domestic violence within the National Football League are approximately one half the national average. Again, the incidence of domestic violence within the National Football League are approximately one half the national average. That being true, even if you think that every player in the NFL is on roids or none of the players in the NFL are on roids, either, whatever you think, the truth is that most NFL players, by comparison to the rest of the population, are better people, less likely to get into these kinds of situations. That, of course, is mitigated strongly by the fact that there aren't a whole lot of people walking around the streets with, driving 100,000 plus dollar sports cars with bling, with, a 6-bedroom house in the suburbs, making 7-figure, 8-figure salaries every year. And money does buy you options that other people in society don't have. So there's all kinds of mitigating factors in here. Steroids. I just don't have the answer, sir. I can't tell you whether that's a fact.
Just when I see a game and I see the guy doing the pep talk in the sidelines, you know, one of the players, and his eyes are coming out of his head, and
a lot of that's culture, though. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're you're taught from the time you're a kid that this is how you act. You know, you got to be big, mean, tough, vocal. You know, there aren't a whole lot of sheepish guys in the National Football League. I mean, dances in the end zones. I mean, when the one thing that drives me crazy is, you know, some defensive lineman gets one hand on the quarterback and the quarterback trips over his own defensive lineman, and that lineman gets up and starts pounding his chest and pointing at himself in the middle of the field and screaming, like, look what I did. Well, what you did basically is you fell on your ass and the other guy tripped over somebody else. You know, the look at me culture that exists now in the National Football League is something that drives me crazy. Not to compare it to what's going on right now. These are far more serious issues than players saying, look at me. But that's culture. That's not something that comes naturally. That's something that you're taught or you observe and absorb. Joe and Alliston, hello.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Good.
I just got a question for you. It's not to... Keep this rolling, but the Ray Rice video, I just had a question on it. So they do the police do their investigation, they uncover this tape, and they're going through all the investigation of what they're doing.
Right.
Is it normal practice for the police to send the video to your employer? I know the NFL is different, it's a big thing, there's morals and this and that, but
No, that's really not the issue, sir. What the issue is whether the National Football League should have called the casino, the hotel casino, or were there other sources for the video? Because clearly TMZ, they claim one phone call, they got the tape. And they didn't get it from the police department. They did not get it from the New Jersey State Police or the Atlantic City Police. They got it from somehow through the casino itself.
Okay, but I understand that somebody said that it was sent from the investigating offices to a lady at the NFL who
it was sent by somebody who had access to that tape or a copy of that tape, not by the police department to the National Football League, but to somebody who had access to another copy, sent it to the National Football League, and they acknowledged receipt of it, but somehow Goodell says it never got to him.
Right, right. Okay, well, thanks for clearing that up.
Sure, you're welcome.
I was ill-informed.
But no problem. Time. I understand. Thank you. Gus Windsor, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Couple quick things. Well, number one is I was disappointed with Sid and Tim a little bit. I usually love those guys, but you asked the question about three times. What did you want to hear? And the bottom line is nothing Goodell could have said today mattered. At the end of the day, you hit the nail on the head. The owners only care about one thing, money. He has done a wonderful job at putting hundreds of millions of dollars and raising the value in their pockets and raising the value of their franchises. Nothing else matters. And the other thing I really want to touch on for the fans that want zero tolerance, all the outrage, I hate the thought of hitting a woman. I've been with my wife 25 years, would never do it. My children could never receive a beating like that. But we're all hypocrites. Every single one of the fans wanting a zero tolerance policy is full of doo-doo for the simple reason that means Colts fans have to tell me that the first time Andrew Luck screws up, see you later, forever. That means...
Well, that's always been the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
For all leagues, and I've said it many times with relation to the relationship to the NHL's policies on punishment, is their concern isn't about the third-line center.
No.
They'd be happy to give the third-line center a lifetime ban.
Exactly.
But what happens if Sidney Crosby the next day does the same thing, and then they're called, then they have to do the same thing to him.
And that's why, Bob, they allow the hits from behind in the NHL into the boards. They allow people to break their necks because they know that if Sid Crosby ever does it, you can't ban him. Just like I was starting to say with the NFL. I mean, are you really going to start taking superstar quarterbacks, franchise quarterbacks, that sell season tickets, and ban them for life? You have to leave it gray. People complain that he was gray today. The NFL, he may as well be the National Gray League. They have to be gray. They have no choice. And as fans, for us to pretend, I'd love for a fan to tell me they'll renew their season tickets if Andrew Luck isn't there, or Stafford, or if Breeze isn't in New Orleans.
Well, see, but here's the interesting thing. Consider this. If there's one, I've thought a lot about this. Mm-hmm. Then I got to go. If there's one league in major professional sports in North America that actually could afford to have blanket punishment that might impact on one of the great players in their game, one of the star players in their game, it actually is the National Football League. Think about this. How many real stars are there in the NHL? How many real stars are there? And I'm talking about, I'm talking about guys you put up here in the NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA. Then think about the NFL. Lots of them. Every city's got one. Every city's got a guy that they think is the most valuable guy in the world to their team. There's lots of debate over who best quarterback is in the National Football League. There's 10 guys. There's half the quarterbacks maybe in the National Football League are important enough so that if you had to suspend him forever, that individual team would go. But it's the exact reason why you could get away with it in the NFL, where you might not be able to in the other ones. The risk, actually, in the NFL is a lot less. I got to get out of here. We're going to take the break. Roundtable's coming up. A lot of this same stuff is going to be regurgitated and some fresh stuff, we hope, as well. Elliot Friedman will be here, David Perkins, and Glenn Grunwald, former NBA general manager and now athletic director, coming up on Primetime.